And the story goes, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, listen to this, verse 13. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And it carries on. And then the story goes where she goes back. I think it's verse 28. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And listen to verse 13. They went out of the town and were coming to him. We'll just read up to there. And I told you I'm going to give it a bit of a 2014 version of John 4 this morning. So just to make a few illustrations here this morning. So we have a story where Jesus and his disciples are approaching that town. They are weary. It's a long day. It's warm. And Jesus says, listen, you want a braai? Yes. Okay. Peter, can you get us some meat? I'll go and get the wood ready in the meanwhile. Who's doing the aardappelslaai and the braai broekies? And they went off there. They're going to the English people. There are going to be a few Afrikaans jokes. So, ons gaan nou braai. Okay. That's what they said. Ons gaan nou braai. And so they're off there in the town. They're looking for all the drinks and the cool drinks and you know what. Preparing, coming back to get some food. And while they away, Jesus meets this woman at the well. I want you to see this. There's two things that took place in the story. That's the theme of this of my sermon this morning. The lady came to the well. She sat down. And after she sat down for a while, she got up and she ran away. All of us are called to sit down. Just going to make that statement for a while. It's in the middle of the day. It's warm. It's hot. And I've been in Israel a few years ago. 37 degrees, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's not as Swakop's nice weather. While I was away now in Arendslee, crossing the border at 1 o'clock in the o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, you know, you just want to get across the border. 42 degrees, the kids are just moaning, and then some other way it ends up, you're standing there for an hour because the system is down and the supervisor is on his way. And we all know how it goes. The supervisor is on his way, but you don't know how long it can take. And only the supervisor can call Winduk. And when Winduk, they have to send the SMS, the whole long thing. And after a while, I realized, okay, maybe God's just trying to say something or just testing me. Or I don't know. So 42 degrees. And you realize, you know, it's not nice when it's hot and you don't have water and nothing cold there. Same as in the situation when this lady came to the water. If you remember, I remember when we used to play rugby at school. We used to practice 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it's not like in Swakopmund. Guys, it's almost like 30, 38 around there. And we would run, and they would give us PT, and you have to practice, and then you come back, and there's this tap with the coldest water. You just stand and drink water, and water. And you wish, oh, can I just have a Coke, maybe? But nevertheless, when I was away now, one Saturday morning, I was at home on the farm, and my brother wasn't there. I said, well, I'm not going to sit at home. I'm just going to go to the field, probably just shoot the Springbok. And then I thought, I'll take the bike, because, you know, just for fun, just to get time by, and I'll jump on the bike, I'll put the rifle on my back, and then I have to thought about it. If I kill the Springbok, what am I going to do with the thing? I can't load it on the bike. So I thought, well, I'll put it on my back. Then I look like, oh shucks, here comes Untak. Have you seen that movie? Casper. So I thought, all the blood and all the stuff. But it happened to be that the front wheel, the tire was flat. So I thought, well, I'll leave that. I'll jump in the cruiser. And it's an old cruiser. It's actually the one that's supposed to be just under the tree. That's where it needs to retire. And I took my brother's little two-year-old girl with me. So we're just going to go for a ride somewhere. And after a while, we went into the field. I shot Springbok with all the guts out, and it's just blood. You know, I haven't got water with me. So my hands are covered in blood anyway. Sorry, I have to say for the sensitive people. Anyway, so I've got the gun in there, rifle in there, and now we're driving. And as I'm approaching, I'm going down in a field in the riverbed. As I'm going down and as I hit the riverbed, I realize I'm in trouble now. And the cruiser goes, brum. No four-wheel drive. I didn't realize the four-wheel, it didn't go in four-wheel anymore. So I'm going deeper and deeper. And now, that was a lot, 11:30 in the morning. It's hot there. And I thought, okay, she needs to sit in the hut to dig us out here. I didn't have a shovel. I had only these little things that they used to clean the crypt. It's a piece of tire. I don't know if you've seen that on the farm. It's a piece of tire they take and a dropper, and they will use that to clean that. So I haven't got a shovel. I'm trying to move away all the sand, and then I'm going in again, and after an hour and a half, I just gave up. I thought, well, I have to make a plan. My cell phone's battery is almost flat. There's no reception there. So I thought, now I have to walk. She hasn't got shoes. She hasn't got a hat, so I'll have to give my hat. And we haven't got water. That's the most important thing. So we walked until where we could get reception called, and eventually we got home. But in the meanwhile, tummy wasn't all right, so I've got blood and all of that, carrying the little one. And I thought, you know, that is a lesson to me, always take water with you. Because it's so vital that we have water with you. People will tell you, when you go down out there, always have water with you. Because it's necessary for us to survive. And I learned that lesson the hard way again. But all of us this morning, if you call yourself a human and not evolved from somewhere else, like the world tells you, that we all have one thing in common this morning. We need water to survive. You can go for food without food for a long while, but without water, you have trouble. Well, let me put it this way. We need liquid. Actual water, but some of us, we fill ourselves with different kinds of liquids and to quench our thirst. What our body will do is, if you drink other stuff, it will subtract or get the water out of that and use that if you don't drink as much. But what I ask you this morning, well, I don't know if you're here this morning for the first time. Have you found the well of life? Have you come to that place where you sat down like that lady for a moment and have a conversation with Jesus? Says, I need water in my life. There's a problem. I'm thirsty. Or you're still wandering off. You're afraid to go and sit down with Jesus. Or maybe I should ask us this morning, or myself this morning, how regularly do I go back to that well to drink from that water? If I say this morning, well, I found the well. How regularly? You see, when we all have one thing in common, and that is the fact that we all become thirsty from time to time, that means that we fill ourselves with different stuff. Now, God says, or Jesus says to them, you know, this water that you come, I'll give you different water. And in life it works like that, you know. We need water. This is a business that boomed over the last 10 years. You ever thought about that? We never bought water when we were kids. It wasn't such a thing. You wouldn't find a bottle of water in a shop. Nowadays, It's a norm. But anyway. So Jesus says to, you need the water of life. And I thought about that, thought about that for a while. As we all are different, as we all have one thing in common, that's the fact that we need water. We all need to get that in our life. Some of us, we just choose, we don't admit that. We just choose to fill ourselves with other stuff. I know you. You've seen this. Share a Coke in Aranos. I wanna buy a few others so I can get the Swakopmund one. Okay. Some of us, we think, well, I don't like the water stuff. And I'm not preaching on cool drinks and other stuff this morning. I'm preaching on symbolically. We fill our lives with different stuff. 10 or 11 spoons of sugar and one glass of Coke. Okay, now some of you thought, I'm not going to still drink this stuff. It's bad. They used to clean the radiator for a car. They use it for that. And you're not a radiator, so please. Okay. But others say, no, listen, I'll go a bit further. Okay, I'm not preaching on alcohol. So you can relax. You can enjoy your beer. And I know some of us thinking, wow, man, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to have a cold one. So the fact of the matter is we just use different stuff to fill our lives. Every human being needs to get well, hopefully, some or another time in his life. Although our friends or the people out there that doesn't admit it, they need to get to that well. They might fill them with different stuff this morning that in the long run might not be beneficial to them. Whether it's this or that, we know, whether you want to agree with me or not, that this is the only healthy stuff. Although this is lekker. This is not beneficial. I know, they say you're in Namibian when the second and the third and the fourth one taste still the same as the first one. About the beer, at least that a joke. Okay, I'll put this away just so it doesn't distract you there. And you think the whole service, you're looking at my Tafel Lager there. Okay. Point is, we need to get to that place where we sit down, a conversation. But here's a problem in the church nowadays. I find that we sit at the well too long. How can you sit too long at the well? How can you sit there too long? You think to me, you're saying to me, Yaku, how can it be possible to sit in Jesus' presence too long? I tell you it's possible. Because the thing is, the lady sat down there with Jesus, had a conversation, they're talking about the water, and then you have to watch this. She got up, and she ran back to the city. Nowhere can I find that Jesus asked her to go back to the city. But the encounter that she had with Jesus, the water that she tasted, symbolically this morning, was so good that she thought, man, this water, never tasted this in my life. This is so good. It's just too good to be true. I have to share this with somebody else. See, I have a problem. I think sometimes we need to come back to the well and taste the water again and realize what we have. Because for us, it becomes a burden sometimes. Ah, come on now, don't tell me to share this gospel thing again with people out there. I want to suggest you got to come back to the well and taste the water again and realize what's in there, how good the stuff is. Because then nobody has to encourage you and ask you and motivate you. Come on, go and share. Please, come on, there's people out there that's thirsty. See, when we're sitting at the well too long, when we have our conversations, and I'm talking here about coming to church, having a home cell, and having all our gatherings, and we're in the presence of God, and we need to be there. We have all these holy conversations. And we drink the water, and this is great stuff. This water, this is Jesus' water. God, you're precious. Oh God, you're good. And we have all these holy moments. We become Holy Spirit connoisseurs. We enjoy the moment. But we forget there's a city behind us. Yes, I can drink this water, but I'm going to run back to that city because there's more that need to know about this. See, if I'm sitting here too long, I become weird. Do you know, did you know there's such a thing as a weird Christian? There are such. I know you're all holy. There are. You can aim in there, okay? I've seen them. I don't know if you've seen them. They're weird. We start talking a different way. You know, we use language that others would think about. The other day, we did the foundation free, or this weekend, and person's not wasn't attending this course, but she said, "Well, listen, I heard about this course that you're doing, about foundation course, foundation free. Can I participate?" Yes, my email form. And then one of the questions in the form is, "Are you saved?" So the lady comes back and she says to me, "What does it mean to be saved?" So I thought, okay, we have to change the way we communicate. The problem is we sit here, we become, we act a certain way, and we get out of touch with what's happening out there. We cannot relate to people. We become weird. And I'm saying, people, we pray differently than what we would talk or have a normal conversation. I just don't get that one. Why would we talk to God in a, "Thus says the Lord"? I don't want to, and I'm not joking about people. I have to look at my own life, that religion wouldn't become part of me. And we would sometimes dress in church, and we have events, then we dress like you've probably visited your grandma's Larkin. You've got this white thing over you, and we dance, and we do this. We would never wear that stuff out in the world, but we do that in church. And we think, "Oh, and this is cool." I know. It looks like you're just going to take off any moment. That I know, you know what I'm talking about. I sometimes think, God, why can't we just be ourselves? Why can't we just act normal? Why do we have to do it different in the church? We have all this, I want to say, funny clothes and stuff. Why do I have to wear a tie this morning? Who told us? Where did we get this from? We don't know. Come as you are. Just don't stay as you are. It's okay to come as you are. That's what Jesus says. Just don't stay as you are. Because there we can have a conversation. And the problem is with us, if we're sitting here too long at this well, we cannot relate with the people, we become weird, and then we become insensitive to age-appropriate behavior. When you have children, you know what I'm talking about. My little girl of 2 years or 5 years, she'll make certain mistakes. And as a parent, as an adult, I need to discern where she is. Can I allow that? That's okay to make that mistake. But when we become religious, we sit at the well too long, we never get in touch with people out there in life where life really happens, to get them from there to here, to the well, we act so weird, and then we become insensitive. Why are you still struggling with this issue? And we use the water, that we're supposed to pass on, and we start bashing them. God, you gotta get this in. I'm not gonna struggle anymore. And so we carry on and on and on. People think, "Oh, man, I don't want to do anything. Don't Bible bash me, please." Instead of just blessing them with that, we become hearers and not doers, as James says. And that's such a dangerous place to walk, where we can aim in week after week about, "Let's go out there and do the thing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah." Now it's time that we actually practice that now. And nothing, let me put it this way, nothing that I'm saying to you this morning you haven't heard before, unless you are here for the very first time in a church. It's not new. I'm sorry that I didn't give you any revelation this morning. It's just to remind myself. And Jesus says in verse 13, let's look at that. Some disturbance here. I'll stand still. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." Now I want to ask you this morning, is your life a fountain? Or do you just drink in and drink in? There's a fountain that springs up into everlasting life wherever you go. You change the atmosphere wherever you go, among your colleagues, among your family. Let me ask you this way, and I'm asking the same question to myself this morning. I'm not saying, looking down at any person this morning. To whom did you give water this week? Because that's all we do. We just give water and then we hand it out. Did you give water to the Christian? And we can help one another. We are called to help one another with that, edify one another. Or I have to ask myself this question this morning. Did I really, or was I available when God wanted to water somebody else? Use me just to pass that bottle of water on to somebody else. To people out there that's thirsty, that never heard about him. Well, I'm just so busy in my own world. I enjoy the water, but not now. And Jesus says, whoever drinks will never be thirsty again. Whoever. When is the last time you invited the whoever, or whosoever, to the family? Say, listen, don't you want to sit down with us? There's something special here. I want you to enjoy this. Are we so focused upon ourselves? Maybe I shouldn't say this morning. Maybe I'll warn you. I drive on my way here to church, and I thought, Lord, what will happen? Your word says that we ought to come to church with a word, with the edification, with the song. What if you asked me one Sunday just to get up, say, good morning, the Lord bless you, and I'm going to sit down. Can we all just participate? And then I have to think about the way I'm coming to church, how I'm approaching. Am I coming prepared? Not just to receive, but to say, Lord, there's more. You use me this morning. You want to use me this morning. You see, I'm of the opinion, you can disagree with me here this morning, that I think we do not believe that people are thirsty anymore. While our action says that. Sometimes we hear the stuff all about that. And we will justify even the way we think. You know what? I wouldn't reach out to them. I can see they're so busy. They've got children. Church thing wouldn't work for them at the moment. I can see they're busy at work. I mean, I rather don't want to disturb them. I know that I can't sell this thing, this church thing to them. They wouldn't be interested in that. And if we try to adapt our gospel, we try to do this. We all know you get water and then you get the flavored water. So we think, well, give them Jesus, but a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of something else so that it will taste different and maybe they will swallow that. And the churches are full of that nowadays. How we start compromising the truth a little bit. I'm sad to say here, I am so disturbed again after this weekend about this whole Halloween thing. And I'm sorry if you, I don't know who did that, but I see it among my friends overseas as well. We call ourselves Christian. I expose my children to demonic practices. I participate. I dress my children like witches. And then I post it on Facebook and I say, wow, this is fun. I say, God, we're called to be different. Not weird, different. So I don't say go and condemn people out there. Obviously, I'm talking to us as Christians this morning. I'm not talking to the world. Some other people, they don't know better. That's fine for them when they're there. But for us, it's saying, God, we serve you. We're not going to participate. We can't have a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of Halloween, and a little bit of this party, and then, Lord, and I still have water, but it's flavored water. It's not pure water. And our actions says that. You see, this lady, she had an encounter with Jesus. She got up and she ran back. And then she testified in that city. We got to come back to our testimony. We've got to come back to the place where we realize the power of our testimony. If that lady had to walk in here this morning, we wouldn't take her to heart. We wouldn't think about her twice because she's a prostitute, 4, 5 husbands. I don't take that lady too seriously. That's what probably will happen to us. Think, man, she's sleeping around the fruit of our life, and we will analyze the whole thing. But I'm here to say to you, God doesn't care if He forgave you. Your past is gone. The old is gone. The new has come. God says, just go and testify about it. Just go and tell the world about what I've done for you. Just tell them about this water. Tell them that you've tasted the water, and the stuff is so good. I just can't keep it for myself. I gotta testify. I gotta look for a moment. I gotta wait. I gotta pray each morning. Say, God, give me opportunity this week, just for one moment, just a drop of water. Maybe I can drop somewhere, because there's somebody out there that's thirsty, that needs to hear about this. You see, this lady, or sometimes when we sit down too long at the well, we start having, call it bucket conversations. We talk about. Let's talk about this has got mineral analysis. Let's just talk about the mineral analysis. Can't we change the label? Maybe the label would draw people to church. And we have all this irrelevant. And we, you know, the font, this Oasis, this font is the same font they use for the Hindus. They use their water bottles. So there must be a demonic connection here. Can we talk about that? We normally get these conversations when we have our big events, Awaken and all. You wouldn't believe me, we get that. People said to me one day after Awaken, they were shocked that we handed out popcorn. Serious. I couldn't believe what I heard. So how unspiritual that is to give popcorn away at Awaken. And you can't answer a question like that. It's just don't go there. Anyway. And we have all these conversations about this weird stuff rather than talking about the water. Guys, as long as we don't change the content of the water, it's fine. We can change the packaging. We can change the label. It's fine because we have to do that from time to time. Because people look at, I don't like Oasis, but I'll go for the other one. I'll go for the number one. I'm patriotic. By the end of the day, the water is still the same. And in the church, we can change the lights. We can give some smoke. And the people might not like it, but at the end of the day, we want to reach people. And sometimes you got to change the lights and give some smoke so that you look a little bit more attractive as long as the water is still pure. As long as you don't give them flavored water, a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of something else. Because God says it calls you to be pure. We never bother with that. And this lady sat down there. She could have missed this whole thing because she said, well, Jesus, you don't have a bucket. And if you use that other bucket, I'm not going to drink some of that water because that bucket is dirty. I thought about that for a moment. How many times do we miss God because we reject the vessel? I don't like, I drink here at the black beaker. I don't like the bucket. How that thing is dirty. I don't enjoy that. And God says, no, no, it's not about the bucket. It's not about the cup. It's about what's in the cup. It's not about the bottle. Forget about the bottle. It's about what's inside there. What I want to hand out to you. And we reject it. We miss that moment when God wants you. I remember when we were in Zambia earlier this year. And normally what they would do, they would prepare us our tradition, or their traditional meal for us, to bless us. And I know it's for some people, that is probably the biggest mountain and challenge for them over this three-week period when they have to eat the traditional food that they're not used to. And especially when you see how they prepare it, it's even worse than you think about that. And I was there, and we were joking with Anton about this whole thing. We're joking with him about you're going to have chicken feet. They're going to give you some of that. We had that previous year. That's what we told him. We joked. We lied. We didn't have that. We didn't know that we had. So, nevertheless, so we went around the afternoon where they said, well, we're going to prepare some food for you. And as I was going around the building, and remember, it's during the day, there's no shade, it's just on the ground there, a few pots and a fire. And I'm going around, and chicken, dear lies chicken, dead, still with feathers. And then a little bowl, there's a few chicken feet. What is it in English? Is it the right one? Hoenderpote. I thought, that surely can't be our food for tonight. So I politely asked, yes, yes, you're preparing it. So I thought, I'll watch out each dish where the chicken feet might end up. I'll pass that. Nevertheless, we didn't see the feet. It disintegrated somewhere in the... But we ended up having a lovely meal. And I could have missed out on what God wanted to bless us, what the people wanted to do for us. Because I look at the vessel, I look at all the others. The what if this happens now? What if we're going to... The point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we got to look past the vessel. So God, there's water in there. And you choose this morning to use that vessel. That's okay, Lord. My child, that little one that seems to think he knows everything, or that, I don't know what God used. Carol, can I have some music yet? And then the other problem we have, apart from the fact that we sit there too long, some of us run away all the time. John 14, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. As much as all of us are called to sit down, all of us are called to run as well. I don't care if you tell me this morning, well, I'm not into this evangelistic thing. You've got a family this morning. You've got a child that you've got to raise up. It's not my responsibility. It's not the child's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You've got colleagues where you commune with every day. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And God calls us to run to them. I want to ask you this morning, do you run away from people or do you run to people? Do you run away from the well or do you run to the well? Because this thing needs to happen constantly. I run to the well. I drink water. I say, God, this is just, I'm just reminded again how good this is. And then I just can't keep this for myself. I got to run back to the city. There are people there that are thirsty. I want to point them back to that place where they can find Jesus. Apart from staying, not staying away too long. Yesterday's manna is not enough this morning to keep you going. It will just last you one day and then you need to come back to that place. God, I need to come back into your presence. Fill me afresh. Give me more of that, Lord. You see, God has never called us to become independent. Never. He actually called us to become addictive. I know we use it in a negative context as well. We know this stuff can make you addictive as well. The beer down there as well. God said, I want you to become addictive to me. The more you taste that, God, this is good. I want more, Lord. God, this is so good. But God is so good, I just can't keep this for myself. There's somebody else that needs to taste what it's like. And I suggest to you this morning as a church that we need to come back to that well and taste again and realize what He's given us. And not operate in our own strength, because when we operate in our own strength, running empty, out there, never coming back to the well, just out there trying to do your own thing, operating your own strength. There's a principle I want you to realize here this morning. You cannot keep what you do not have. As a father, you cannot give 10 million rand or dollars one day when you die to your child or to your son if you don't have it. You cannot give a house if you do not have one. Spiritually speaking, it's the same. You cannot give or leave a spiritual legacy if you are empty. I can just give as much as I have. Some of us, we're running out there. We've got a little bit of that left in us. We're just so afraid I might get in a conversation and the person might ask me a question. I don't know, I'll rather run away. I'll just leave the bottle there. And then I'll run away, maybe just in case they question me. That's why we do Bible school and all those things, just to equip you. Not so we all know. I tell you what, it's possible to ask me one question I wouldn't be able to answer you today. We all have that, I want to say, blind spot, that vulnerable place. But I can point you to the one that can answer that question for you. I might not be able to do that, but I can point you. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to fill myself up. Say, God, equip me. Give me more of that. Let's just close our eyes. I want to ask you this morning, where are you this morning in your relationship with Christ? Have you been at the well? Have you been at that place where you sat down for a moment like that lady, where God intervened your life like Jesus did that day? She just came there like a normal day. Another day where she's just going to fetch some water and Jesus intervened. He stepped into her life. He changed her life forever. You reached that place where you met Him. And you can say this morning, I've met Him. I've tasted that water. If you've not been at that place, I want to invite you this morning, while nobody's looking around, just to raise your hand and say, I need that. I need Christ in my life this morning. I need Jesus. Lord, I know I've been running away from you. God, I need you this morning. There's some of us sitting here this morning, maybe you've been at the well. Maybe God wants to invite you back to that well again, to taste again. While I was away, I dreamed two dreams. One of them was very disturbing. I don't dream a lot, and I don't experience a lot of times that God would talk to me through my dreams. He does it from my wife often, but in this particular case, I knew the Lord wanted to say something to me. I was standing next to a big pool of water, river or dam, and then somebody was in front of me and he was busy drowning. But here's the sad thing, as I was standing, I was looking upon this person, I heard him busy dying, swallowing water. And I just stood there with my hands to my side, and I heard him busy dying till he went under the water, and I knew Lord wanted to say something to me there. And I had to look at my own priorities again and confess and Lord and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Maybe in this year where we missed you, maybe where we were busy with other stuff that wasn't important, maybe stuff that we had to put out fires when we were supposed to just do the work of the kingdom. I want to ask you this morning, when last did you run back to the city? When last did you give out water and say, God, there's somebody out there that needs to get that water, that needs to hear about this? We give this opportunity to people. I want you to open your eyes, those of you still in prayer. That's what we've done on Friday night coming. We just changed the label. That's all we've done. We say to people, you know what? Don't you want to join, participate in what we're going to do on Friday night? Joe is not here. Joe Niemand is not here to entertain people. The reason why we do what we do on Friday night is so that people will meet with Christ. And we say to the church, and I haven't advertised on Channel 7 because it's Christians that's listening to Channel 7. Sometimes good, but I think for a while we have to get out of our comfort zone and say, well, I've got friends that's not listening to Channel 7. They would never listen to Channel 7. I've got friends in my world that I got to invite and tell them about the water. I don't care if you're not a fan of Joe Niemand and you like him. Joe likes Jesus, and that's all that matters to me. And I like Jesus, and we've got a connection. We've got a lot of this still left. It saddens me. It saddens me. It breaks my heart. And I'm all for this. Yesterday, when we drive past that cancer breakfast, it's such a lovely event. Great event. My wife is a dentist here as one. I encourage her to do those things, to support those things. I'm for that. Hear my heart. But when you see the amount of people there, the amount of cars, what we pay to go there, nothing wrong, hear my heart. Well, when we as a church want to organize something, we say, we'll ask you 1/6 of the price of that. And we just want a little bit of that. We're struggling to sell that. And I realize, God, we have to rearrange the things, the way we think about this. Tonight I'm preaching on that. We're limiting God. You think, oh, this is never possible. God will not reach that one. That one is just such a hard net to crack. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think, well, I've got that friend. He will never come to church. Maybe, just maybe, I'm going to trust God to invite him to this concert. There's so many tickets left there at the back. When you leave, take some. So I want to trust God. Maybe it's just one person this week I'm going to meet. And God said, I'm going to trust him. Just to sell water, or give water away this week. Finally, I close with this story and then I want to pray. While we were in the men's camp last year, we had a few students. The men will know, but I think it was 20, 25 students that came with see us there. And on the last day, when we were packing up just before we leave, they got ready and they washed all the men's feet, all these students. And I remember particularly one specific guy. I don't know why I remember his face. I remember as we were packing up, I saw him next to the swimming pool there. And they were all joking like students. Got up and I came back. And then now at the conference, funny enough, he was the only one I could remember from the last time I saw him. I saw his face there and I remember he was with us at the men's camp, serving the Lord faithfully. 25 years old. His parents live on a farm, I think, near Freiburg. So this week he got up, left earlier from home, 3 days earlier to surprise his girlfriend in Stellenbosch. And on his way, he died in a car accident. 25 years old. I said, God, is it toeval? Is it coincidence that I just remember this face of this young man when I saw him? There are people out there that's dying. Luckily, he found the water. But you know about people that's thirsty this morning. I know about people that's thirsty. I tell you what, I'm rearranging my priorities. I'm spending majority of my time with questions with people. I'm going to be intentional in connecting with these people again as much as I have the ability. There can't be one worse than me this morning. You're not working at the church. I've got a bigger mountain this morning standing here before you. You've got the privilege of working in the harvest field every day. Let God open our eyes to see the precious gems in the ground there. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you had a moment when you sat down with that lady, that woman, Lord, at that well. She encountered you for that moment, Lord. She tasted that water, Lord, and it was just so good. She had to run back. For some of us, we need to taste that again, Lord. And then we have to run back. So I pray for each and every one of us, Father, where we are in our worlds, that we'll run back to that place. Freely we've received and freely want to give out, Lord, this morning. Jesus, we pray for this weekend. As Joe visits us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your name be glorified, Lord. We're not here to build our church. We're here, Lord, to be obedient to what you called us to do. Father, we pray for each and everyone we're going to invite and that we've already invited, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, prepare the way. Prepare the hearts for an impartation to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.